Matt, you're not sitting next to me in your beautiful chair today.
No, I'm in Cornwall on holiday with the family. I'm actually calling you from the laundry room. You are coming out of a laptop sat on a baby high chair, and the microphone is on an ironing board.
One thing, I presume you haven't bought your Belieber merch with you on your trip, obviously. Anyone who watched the top comment YouTube of last episode will have seen that Matt was indeed wearing his I Love Justin Bieber top.
Yeah, usually I have like a suitcase just for my Bieber merch, but we didn't have room in the car this time, so I'm a bit bummed about that.
Have you seen these videos of little girls kind of age 1, 2, 3 watching Justin Bieber's Coachella set and like sort of like falling in love with him, like doing like little eyes, like hearts, the new generation of Beliebers?
Which makes me feel old because it's like Bieber fans now have babies.
Like you.
Oh, yeah, true.
Okay, we're not actually going to talk about Justin Bieber on this episode of Top Comment. We're going to talk about the hijacking of the mainstream media, aren't we, Matt? And these kind of fake websites and other things exploiting the media.
And we're going to talk about the Bechstein files, which is this social media driven obsession with the sister of a famous influencer who is accused of grooming one of her students. She's a teacher.
If you have been scrolling on the side of TikTok that I am on, you will have been hearing a lot about Hailey Beck. Hailey Beck is the sister of a really popular influencer called Noah Beck. He sort of shot to fame on TikTok in that first round of influencers during the pandemic, doing dancing videos, being part of kind of influencer houses, all that kind of stuff. He's really into soccer, football as well, so he does a lot of content about that kind of thing. And the reason that his sister is popping up is because she and another teacher have been accused of having a relationship with at least one student, and there are also allegations relating to inappropriate behavior with other students. Police have recommended that a charge of pandering be brought against Hailey Beck, but we'll obviously say from the get-go that she hasn't been charged yet, and her lawyers have said that she has committed no crimes.
All right, before we get into the whirlwind of TikTok reinterpretations of what's now been called the Bechstein files, what are the actual facts? What do we know about this?
Okay, so what we do know is that there was an investigation that was conducted by the police, and it was looking into allegations of encouraging a person to engage in prostitution, so allegedly giving a student over $600. And then what happens in Arizona is that the police have got to propose whether they think the person or people should be charged and what they should be charged with. And then it's up to prosecutors to decide what they want to do. In this case, they kind of did an initial investigation and they were essentially asked to kind of go and investigate again and get more evidence. The kind of latest report that they've released is just like absolutely jammed with like Snapchat messages, back and forth messages on text, different things that were said during police interviews, like interviews with family members, all of this stuff. Hailey Beck doesn't work at the school anymore, but Matt, there are ample students who are coming out now making TikTok saying like, this was my experience of being at school with Hailey Beck.
All right, this is my story on Hailey Beck. As you can see right here, I was in her class.
The whole Hailey Beck case just hits a little close to home. I don't even think I shared this in my previous videos, but I went to high school with her.
And the most interesting thing, and I guess the content that I have been consuming a lot of, is all like people reading out the police reports. Like they read out, like they're reading out like the text messages, like in character. It'll be like, Hailey said this, and then the alleged victim said this.
He said, at the crib, out front. She said, ugh, it's so sus doing it during the day. But okay, whatever you say. He says, come inside. Nah, chill. Car it is. Hailey said, if no one was home, then yeah, preferably that. But I guess I'll settle for being a rebellious teen.
It's like almost like a sort of dramatization of it.
Right. That reminds me a lot of the post-Charlie Kirk assassination, in which you had another situation where the police released files and evidence, including like a chat log between Tyler Robinson, the suspected killer, and his roommate. And people were acting that out on TikTok as well. So it's kind of like social media using raw police intelligence as a kind of script for a drama that plays out en masse. All right, so obviously there's 50 pages of digital communication, Snapchat messages, Instagram messages, iMessages. But what people really seem to have focused on is this handwritten letter.
Yeah, so it's this letter that appears to have been written by Hayley Beck to the alleged victim. And it's almost written like a text, like it's written in text slang. And so quite a lot of people have been sort of taking the mick out of the way that it's written.
When they executed the search warrant at Hayley Beck's house, they found a handwritten letter in her apartment. And I'm going to read it to you word for word, okay?
The exact letter that Miss Hayley Beck, the loser, wrote a child that she taught in high school.
Your prob's gonna think this is cheesy as hell, but you know I'm a words girly. I know, you aren't dying. Plus, you're literally just a text away, but I had little notes from people when I was away studying abroad.
It's kinda crazy to look back and realize in my 2 years of knowing you, our relationship has changed so much.
Like, bro, you're the first person that got me to smoke weed. You're always going to have that title, so we're locked for real.
Even though sometimes my advice or input is unsolicited, I'm happy we can talk about things.
Even though you never say it back, I love you and wish you the best. Love, HB.
Like, there are some really, really, really cringy bits. And I think actually, I mean, so much of the dissecting of the Bechstein files, quote unquote, is people basically like laughing at Hayley Beck and then kind of coming to all these conclusions about what she must be like as a person. Was she cool in high school? Was she not cool in high school? Why would you do something like this? Obviously kind of going way beyond the fact that these are allegations. There's not been a decision made yet on charges. Like, there are a few TikTokers I've seen who've been like, I've stayed up all night. Like, you must watch my video. Here's like a flow chart of what happened, and here's more of the evidence, and here's what she said to police. And they will be racking up hundreds of thousands of views for this content because it's basically like having a sort of like gossip on steroids. But perhaps the most concerning part is that because these open source sort of documents, etc., include quite a lot of details, including like the first names of people's parents and things like that, very quickly social media has identified who they believe the victim to be and are sharing clips of him in a way that you'd imagine the police are probably not so keen on.
What we're seeing here with the Bechstein files is a much smaller scale version of what we saw with the Epstein files, where when the government does the rare thing of releasing raw evidence, raw unfiltered evidence, which includes everything, some legitimate claims, some claims of people who may have paranoid schizophrenia and are calling up the FBI to say that Jeffrey Epstein is a cannibal and eats babies or whatever it is, all of that is released at the same time to the internet. And it's up to the internet to then pore over it and come up with their own theories. And a lot of like blatantly false conspiracies came from that recent dump of the Epstein files. And this is why the government almost never would release like, you know, unfiltered intelligence to the public. You know, there's a reason that they don't ever do this. I mean, I think the Epstein files is unprecedented in terms of the scale of that unfiltered intelligence being released to the public to pore over. But in this, it's turned into like a hobby for people on TikTok to go through the files, which, you know, it's impressive because like I struggled to get people to watch like a 20-second TikTok video. They're going through like pages of police reports. And for some people, some reason people are eating it up.
There are positives to that open source thing, right? Because there is, you know, transparency can be good. It's good if people can see the evidence, but particularly when you've got a huge amount of evidence like this. So it's a lot to go through. Most people won't go through it. They're then relying on TikTokers who are essentially collating it for them. It's not really getting mainstream coverage because there's not been a decision on charging yet. So, you know, the media wouldn't necessarily cover it until there's a decision made about whether this amounts to a crime or not. Ultimately, the allegations here are really, really serious that are being leveled at these teachers, and really serious accusations of abuse of power. And the seriousness of it all feels like it kind of disappears. And then you've got like kids popping up who are, you know, only just 18, understandably wanting to kind of like get involved and say, oh, look, this is my experience of it. This is what happened. But without even necessarily maybe realizing the impact of that too, especially on the people at the center of this. Like, imagine going on your TikTok feed and you are the person who is at the center of these allegations, and you find that there are just like endless videos about you or about your family member who's been affected or whatever, and you can't really do anything about it.
And also, I imagine it affects any kind of future jury trial, right?
Yeah, because although a lot of these TikTokers are just reading stuff out and saying this is the evidence, ultimately, like, people are pretty much making up their minds live on video or on camera about like what they think has happened and who they believe to be guilty. And, you know, it's like a lot of this evidence is really quite shocking. Like, some of these conversations are quite shocking, and you can see why people are responding to them how they are. And she also obviously pops up in quite a few of Noah Beck, her brother's TikToks. And so people have gone and dug out like any video where she talks about being a teacher teacher or school. And then there are also videos of like students filming her making TikToks and so on and so forth. And so there's so much content about her, which also explains why she's being focused on rather than the other teacher who is not the sibling of a TikToker, nor seems to post very much online themselves.